Vivian Leva, Raleigh Calcagno, welcome to Roots Radio. It's so good to see and hear you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Vivian, you and I met at Folk Alliance in early 2018. Then I think you were getting ready to release your first album. Thought one way to get started would be to have you sort of catch me up on key events in your life since then, whether life or the record and how that worked out. But what's been going on since we met 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, wow. In some ways, it feels like a really long time ago, but I guess just a lot of things have happened. So that record came out in 2018, and at that point, I guess I was partially through college in South Carolina and was kind of trying to do school and the record release, which ended up going really well. I released it on Free Dirt Records, which is the same label that our latest record came out on. And during that time, Riley and I started playing more music together and kind of working more as a duo. And we both ended up taking a semester off school. I think around maybe the time that I met you at Folk Alliance, and we went on tour together as a duo, playing a lot of stuff off of that record, and that was kind of like the instigator, I guess, of that pushed us forward to write more and tour more as a duo. So after that semester off, I transferred schools. I moved out to the West Coast and to finish college at Lewis and Clark College, and Riley was in Ohio finishing his degree at Oberlin. And during that time, we just would meet up on breaks and summers and play gigs and write together over voice memo and text. now here we are together in Portland with a new record that we recorded a year ago, right before the pandemic hit.
Right. Raleigh, what's your version of the story of how this came together as a duo? Vivian's first record was under her own name, but you guys were close then and making music and have another band. But you know, you've built this as a duo record and you're touring that way. So what's your story on that?
Yeah. Right after, I guess, Viv saw you at Folk Alliance, we went on this crazy tour to the most northern towns you can drive to in Manitoba, and played. We just had gotten a call the previous fall and decided in a day that we were going to take a semester off from school and go tour. And so we went on this wild 2-month drive across North America and to play house concerts and odd wine bars and just kind of whatever shows we could get. I think we really became a duo over that tour and started writing more songs together and kind of thinking about, you know, just even if none of the songs that we were starting to write made it onto the record that's released now, I think that we kind of started to think about a duo record. And then we went back to school and kind of passed these songs that became this record, like Viv said, over text and voice memo.
Riley, I don't know anything about your background, so do you have as family-rooted a background in this music as her? And that will set up the following question.
Well, I don't actually know if anyone can have as as family rooted a background in old time music as Viv can, but my dad discovered old time music in Seattle in the early 90s, and he actually had before I was born and before he had cassettes of Viv's parents. In the Wandering Ramblers and the Renegades and Jones and Leva. And so I grew up going to fiddlers conventions out on the West Coast and started playing fiddle when I was 4 years old. I asked for one at 2. And so there was something about this music that spoke to me from an early age. And I think that one thing that we connected on and that we connected, that Viv connected with the other members of our band, The Onlys, on is growing up in tradition and growing up in old time music and just being surrounded by this music from an early age?
Yeah, I mean, the first time we met, the first time we had any kind of musical, like, interaction was at an old time festival in Washington. And so we were playing, you know, tunes all night. We hadn't really explored even songs or songwriting or anything. It was kind of just, we were like, oh, there's, we're both younger people who grew up in this music and can play it. And so that, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely part of both of our backgrounds.
When I talked to you, Vivian, at Folk Alliance, in addition to meeting musicians and doing the normal sort of scouting for interesting talent and hearing new things, I was kind of on a mission to take the temperature of the culture of old-time music, the marketplace for old-time music, who the practitioners are, which is easier to find, and then who the fans are, which you depend on. But in a trip like that, a really rambling road trip across North America, did you learn anything about that audience, about who craves this to get it in their house, in their life, if they're not players and don't go to Clifftop every year?
Mm. That's a good question.
I think that maybe what we learned is that that it speaks to a wide audience, and kind of an oddly wide audience. We were playing for ranchers in rural Saskatchewan who, you know, wanted to hear fiddle tunes and recognized things. Maybe, you know, some of them had listened to the AM radio that, like, drifted up, you know, from even the East Coast. I've heard that's a phenomenon, but they knew the music. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, when we got to cities, like, got back to Minneapolis and or started in Vancouver, got back. When we were playing for younger audiences, it was also music that related to people and that they could relate to. And so I think that oftentimes this music is seen as niche. And I think what we've found in our travels, you know, later we went to England and France and played shows that spring there. We found that, like, there are so many different kinds of people that this music spoke to. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is kind of inspiring.
Yeah. I also think that the genre is often, like, wider than people might think to begin with. So it's true that maybe the average person wouldn't immediately, like, get really into just a whole set of things that we might play at Clifftop or something like that, you know, just where it's all instrumental music. But in a show, we play, like, a pretty wide variety of things. We'll play fiddle tunes of, you know, different tempos. We'll play traditional ballads. We'll play songs that other people in the old time community have written. We'll play country songs and original songs. And to us, those all kind of make up the wider kind of traditional genre, which I think a lot of people can relate to and feel connected to, and have emotional responses to, even if it's not, you know, all ragers that we would do for a more social reason, you know, at a festival.
Another thing, one last thing that I've noticed, I think, is a lot of times I think when people hear fiddle music or, you know, however you want to define this music, they kind of, maybe their first reaction is to relate it to tropes that they've observed or kind of been fed, you know, over their lives. So, you know, dueling banjos or hillbilly stereotypes or just kind of cultural images about the music. But I think that what I've found is that when people have to listen to a whole set, or, you know, it's the only thing happening in town that night except for the curling match, they actually sit down and listen. And I think this music is not just those stereotypes or those tropes, and they find something maybe a little deeper in it. So I think that was something that we're trying to do is, you know, not make it about the cultural images of the music, but actually make it about the music and the messages itself.
You also remind me, hearing your record, it took me back, you know, a good 25 years to the first time I heard Gillian Welch on the radio and heard the Revival album. And it was the first time I'd heard music that I can see was old-time country, by an artist who was my age and by in a form, and it was on NPR, and it was something about it had a kind of elevated power in the culture that led to this career that they've had, an extraordinary stretch. And then I later learned that, you know, she was somebody that didn't grow up going to Clifftop and didn't grow up in the tradition, but had discovered it as a collegiate, like I did, you know, in college and just after. Really didn't give bluegrass two thoughts until I got to college and just suddenly had these awakenings, and roots music became the most relevant music to me. What are your thoughts about that, you know, who inherits and who adopts, and how those community, how those artists work together in your community?
You know, even just thinking about my parents, my mom grew up totally around this music in Berea, Kentucky. My dad didn't really find it until he was maybe 17 or 18 when he left home. And he chose to start visiting fiddlers and learning from them directly. And, you know, I was even more than either of them. I was like really kind of surrounded by it all the time. But we have a lot of friends who kind of came to it later. And I think that, I don't know, it's a good space for both kinds of people. And I don't think that any is more authentic than anyone else. You know, if you're just like trying to learn the music and play music with one another and not. Yeah. Yeah. That's what do you think, Riley?
Yeah. I think that in, especially in terms of the music being broad and diverse and welcoming, mm-hmm. it's important that, you know, and it's a good thing. I think that there's a lot of gatekeeping in all sorts of music communities and all sorts of communities. And I think it's always a good thing to sort of remind the people who know already that we should welcome the people who don't know already and who are discovering this music. And it's an exciting time in, I think, our lives, because this is the time, our age is the time when a lot of people find this music.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to get to be a part of a new generation of roots music. And another thing is that people might find this music through Old Crow Medicine Show or through Gillian Welch, or they might find it through Doug Wallen and Tommy Jarrell. And I think that however you gain access to the music is great. It's just, you know, how deep you go. And it's good to go deep, and it's also good to just enjoy whatever you're playing and whatever you're listening to.